The magic number is 9. Number 9, Joe Burrow tried to lead the Tigers to another win, a win that would clinch the SEC West Division. Number 9 is the goal of the Raging Cajuns. With a win Saturday afternoon over the Troy Trojans, they would get win number 9 against only 2 losses. And on Sunday, how number 9 for the New Orleans Saints plays will be pivotal as they try to get to their 9th win of the season. 9s across the board. It's all coming your way. Football Friday today, Friday, November the 22nd, 2019.
Drugan inbound, base on right.
Get it into Ingram, two-hand stop. That's way better. Way better. You kidding me?
Good night.
124-115. B.I. with 28. What an inbound feed.
Dropping back the pass is Watson. Lofts it to the near side for Hopkins. He's got it. Touchdown, Texans. 33 yards. Second touchdown reception of the night for DeAndre Hopkins. He beat Pierre Desir. The Texans go back on top, 19-17.
It's a good team win. Guys came in here on Monday to turn the page, and we're very, very focused and very tough game. You know, very difficult game to win, but I thought the guys really, really were focused this week, and it showed up on the field.
That's Coach O'Brien of the Houston Texans as they win an interdivision matchup. They beat the Indianapolis Colts. Texans win it 20-17 to get week 12 of the NFL underway. But welcome, everyone. It's a Football Friday. Strike up the band. The Pels have won 3 straight. They win last night on the road in Phoenix. And lo and behold, after an 0-4 start, they're just a game and a half out of the 8th and final playoff spot in the NBA Western Conference with a lot of basketball still to be played. Football Friday. Yes, indeed. We got last week our teams were on the road and they all came back home victorious. Now all 3 are at home and they try to keep that string alive. Raging Cajuns at 4 o'clock, Cajun Field against the Troy Trojans. At 6 o'clock, the LSU Tigers will take on the Arkansas Razorbacks. And then on Sunday at high noon, the Saints will host the Carolina Panthers. With that in mind, here's what we've got in store for you. Football Friday, we'll have a weather report. We'll have the nickel report. We'll talk about the LSU Tigers. We'll talk about the Arkansas Razorbacks with 2 guests. George Faust will join us at hour number 2 to preview all the big matchups for a Friday night in Acadiana, the high school playoffs underway. Larry Holder of The Athletic will join us to talk about the New Orleans Saints. We'll give you Monday's headlines on a Friday, and then we'll close the show out with the latest hype video. Right now, we're feasting, but we're still hungry as ex-Tiger Ryan Clark narrates the latest as LSU gets ready for the Arkansas Razorbacks. CD back in the master control suite in the 237 Root Studios, spinning the tunes, pushing all the buttons, making sure everything is running smoothly. And we're grateful to have you along board for the next 2 hours. Let's get things started off as we always do. It's time for the weather report. Chris Cozart of KLFY, kind enough to join us. Chris, I kind of got a it feels like, it smells like we got rain coming. What's going on? Let's talk about football night, Friday night in Acadiana, all the high school playoff games. What's the weather going to be like tonight?
Yeah, we're going to be looking at that scattered storm chance. I think thunderstorms are going to be a pretty decent possibility tonight. Not the best news for those playoff games. Ooh. Yeah, so lightning's a little bit of a concern. We're going to have to watch out radar and all those games that are going on. And there's even a little bit of a low threat for severe weather. It's not the best nights. You know, we've been pretty lucky this entire season, but this will be the first night that we're really going to have to deal with some storms.
So they will always err on the side of caution on that one. So, ooh, that's does our Wheel of Fortune change for the better on Saturday or more of the same?
Much, much better. This is a cold front moving through. So tonight you're going to start to see some changes once those storms kind of get done here tonight. And then tomorrow morning the rain is over and we can start to get back to normal. And it gets a little chillier and even a little breezy tomorrow. But if you're tailgating out there at UL, you're good to go. If you're going over to Baton Rouge, you're going to want to bring a jacket. It'll get a little chilly there after sunsets. But we're good to go there for Saturday.
Okay, so... so just some inclement weather this evening, but Saturday is good to go, and it's always good to go in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, where it's a it's just a picture perfect 71 degrees each and every day. Okay, if we've got potential storms, that means you're busy. So we greatly appreciate it as always, Chris. And look, happy Thanksgiving early to you and yours, and thanks so much for being a part of our show.
You're very welcome, and look forward to the next one.
You got it, brother. Thank you very much. Chris Cozart, KLFY. So, again, thunderstorms are of the offing for this evening, so be patient. There might be some weather delays with all these games, so just be safe, be careful. But Chris says by tomorrow, a cold front coming through, should be beautiful weather for the Raging Cajuns at 4 and the LSU Tigers at 6. Meanwhile, besides high school football this evening, we've got some LSU basketball. They are in Montego Bay in Jamaica. A quadruple header going on as we speak. North Carolina A&T beat Nicholls State. Eastern Michigan is playing Maryland Baltimore County right now. And then this afternoon around 3:30, Rhode Island, the highest seeded team, well, the second highest seeded team, takes on North Texas. And then LSU at 6 o'clock tonight takes on 15th-ranked Utah State. It's one of those potential statement games for LSU basketball. As we said, the Pels have won 3 in a row. They're traveling to Salt Lake City. They'll be playing in the altitude on Saturday. Never an easy place to play. Never an easy place. But they got one out of their three-game road set. The first one is in the books, and the Pels are making some waves. Yes, indeed, making some waves. Let me tell you our guest list coming up next. Jim Nickel, the Crowley Kid, will join us. We'll get all the information you need to know about the Arkansas Razorbacks. I can only imagine what their endowment is, the Walton family. Jerry Jones, a bunch of others. That's a very, very wealthy university. Josh Lemoine will join us. He's the founder and recruiting analyst for Inside the Eye. He goes by the Twitter handle of at LSU F-ball truth. So normal we have, full disclosure, Doug Morrow usually comes on, but he's got a he had a death in their family, and so Doug is attending a funeral. He says he'll be back next time, but our thoughts and prayers go out to you, Doug. Clint Sterner was a former Arkansas quarterback, quarterback with the Dallas Cowboys, now doing radio in Houston. We'll get his thoughts from a quarterback's perspective on Joe Burrow and where does his game equate to the next level. We all think and we all hear possible number one draft pick. We'll see what a quarterback who's been there and done that has to say. That's just hour number one. Hour number two, George Faust on high school football, Larry Holder on the New Orleans Saints, George Becknell, CD, and I will give you Monday's headlines on a Friday, and Ryan Clark takes us home with, right now we're feasting, but we're still hungry. We're brought to you each and every day by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. You know, there's 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. My personal favorite is the one in Doosan. I mean, it is just magnificent. Magnificent. Everything you need for everyone in your travel party, whether you're 3 or 93, they've got it all. Cleanest restrooms you'll find anywhere, and you know how important that is to the family. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 24/7. Boy, if you can't shop right at ShopRite, dude, you can't shop right at all. Time out. Football Friday resumes. The Nickel Report, next.
This is everything you need to know about the Tigers' opponent on Saturday. Time for the Nickel Report.
It's a Friday staple here on the Jordy Helfrich Show where we bring in the Crowley Kid, who, by the way, has never looked better. You must be working out like a fiend, big guy. You look great.
Feel good, look good, and it's all, you know, due to some good training, you know, and good inspiration.
Good training, good inspiration. Okay, very, very good. as we always do, we kind of... He's so funny. We recap the last one. Everybody was. Oh, by the way, at the staple, if you're on Twitter, you got to look up. You got to follow Jim Nickel because he always sends a picture of the airplane coming back to BR with another victory under our belt or something along those lines. It's another staple that I look forward to.
Well, that's a leftism. You know, Les used to say we are flying home with victory. So we always say flying home with victory when we're coming home. So. Love to post those. I want to post a few more.
Absolutely. LSU took care of business. Some people a little bit concerned about the defense. I'm not. I just think that it's human nature. You let off the gas a little bit. I think that's what happened. And I think when push comes to shove, and I'm not putting on my purple and gold sunglasses and all that stuff, but I just think when push comes to shove, there's too much talent on that side of the football. I think they will rise to the occasion. I really do.
Well, Dave Aranda told the ESPN guys the night before the game when he was briefing the media that this kid is the best running quarterback he's seen since Jalen Hurts. He runs a 4.3 40. He was the fastest guy on the field. He was faster than anybody on LSU's team. That was obvious. And I think Aranda schemed for him. The idea was to push him to the side, make him run to the corner. Sure, he's going to get 7 or 8, but our guys, you know, missed assignments, came up too soon. Grant Delpit's not healthy. And zoom, there he goes again. And guess what? Guess what his best sport is? It's baseball. So remember that name, Plumlee. He's playing center field for Ole Miss. He can hit, he can steal, and he can catch the ball anywhere it's hit in the field. So LSU fans have not seen the last of that guy.
He's having a tough time getting a date in Oxford, do you?
Well, no. And by way of watching the show earlier this week, I found out he's a classic pianist. The guy's incredible talent, nice young man, and yeah, he gave LSU defense fit. I'm not pushing the panic button either. We've got some injuries on defense. We're going to get better. Delpit needs to get better for sure. And we'll be okay. I mean, look, Jay Fromm's not going to run around like that in Atlanta. We do have a running quarterback tomorrow we may see a little bit of, Jefferson. We'll see. We'll see if we've schemed better and if we tackle better.
No Grant Delpit, no Austin Deculus. Coach O ruled them out, and I think that's wise right. to do. So if you could only put one, and your wife said, okay, here's the spot it's going to be, do you want that Magnolia Bowl trophy or do you want the boot trophy? Or which one are you going to have to take? Because they're both ugly.
We're going to have to take the boot because guess what? We left the Magnolia trophy on the field. I mean, it's still in Oxford. We just kind of got on the bus and left, and it's still there. I saw that thing. It was made by some 4-H club in, you know, Meridian, Mississippi in 1972. That thing needs to be retired. It's awful. They can have it. It's not a very attractive trophy at all. You're getting into the Nickel Report. The boot weighs 175 pounds and allegedly worth $10,000, so it's definitely better than the.
I'm going to question that with authority. Okay. So, without further ado, without giving away too many of the beans, I can't wait to hear what the endowment is. Here is everything you need to know about the Hogs.
Nickel Report, University of Arkansas, founded in 1871. Of course, all Jordy Holberg listeners and Michelle Ford know that LSU was founded in 1860. Its endowment, right at around $1 billion now. They passed LSU up. Believe it or not as much as I thought they would have with all those Waltons and other.
Yeah, what's wrong with the Waltons and what's wrong with the Waltons and Jerry Jones and company and Bill Clinton?
They tend to give it directly to the school to build buildings. They've got some nice facilities, so I guess the foundation doesn't get as much directly to them. Enrollment, they've got about 17,000 undergrads, about 3,700 kids in grad school, 400 in law school. Of course, the main campus is in Fayetteville. That's about 190 miles from Little Rock. Their tuition is about $65,000 in-state. They were the first major Southern public university to admit an African-American. Silas Hunt was admitted to the school in 1948. Okay. And, you know, when you get your mail, when you get your Amazon and your different packages and have the little barcode on the packages, that was founded at the University of Arkansas's College of Engineering way, way back then. And by 1999, they had about 15,000 of those barcode readers that were made, and they sold them to the U.S. Postal Facility. And nowadays, the barcode processes nearly a trillion packages. That all started at the University of Arkansas. Originally, they were called the Cardinals, and their mascot was the Cardinal Bird. They were changed to the Razorbacks in 1910 when their head coach said the team played like a bunch of wild band of Razorback hogs. Their mascot is called Tusk. He's a 300-pound Russian boar. He closely resembles a wild Razorback hog, but he is the official current live mascot. And here's my favorite part. They've got a family of uniform men, those blow-up men. I can't stand them. Yes. So here's the family. You got Big Red. Okay, that's the big one. He's also known as Fighting Razorback. So, and then you got Sue E. That's the female. Sue, S-U-E-E. That's the female hog mascot. And then you got Poke Chop. Poke Chop is the kid mascot. And then you got Boss Hog, which is a 9-foot inflatable mascot that runs around and jumps up and down and inflates. You've seen him on the sideline for him. So you got, you count. You got Big Red. You got Sue E. You got Pork Chop, and you got Boss Hog. Four mascots running around the field. They may want to put them on the field tomorrow and help play because they're going to need them.
Where's Goldilocks? Where's Goldilocks? We need her.
No Goldilocks. Okay. The call to the hogs, that began back in the 1920s when a bunch of farmers went to the game and started issuing hog calls to encourage the lagging Razorback football team. It worked. And by the next game, they were crying, Woo, Pig, Suey, and the calls become the school's best known cheer, and that's how they got it. Some famous attendees, Pat Summerall, who, rest in peace, one of the greatest sportscasters ever. Anybody that goes to Dillard's department store, William Dillard, you name Jerry Jones, Steve Atwater, one of the great NFL defensive backs of all time, John Daly, who won the British Open and the PGA Championship, Jimmy Johnson, University of Miami, Dallas Cowboys, now in Fox NFL, Barry Switzer, 3-time national champion with Oklahoma, won the Super Bowl with the Cowboys. By the way, Switzer and Jimmy Johnson, only coaches to ever win an NCAA championship and a Super Bowl. You mentioned Bill and Hillary Clinton. Bill and Hillary Clinton did not attend the University of Arkansas, but they did serve on the faculty before they were elected to their position. So there you go. 9 Southwest Conference titles, 3 SEC Western Division titles. They won one national title in 1964. And in 1963, they went 22 straight games without losing back when they were really, really good. That will not be the case tomorrow night. They've had about 25 All-Americans. No one has won the Heisman Trophy at the University of Arkansas, and that is the Nickel Report.
Wow. I remember Darren McFadden, how good he was, and I can always remember 40 Minutes from Hell, my boy Nolan Richardson, back when they first came into the conference, and it was Kentucky and Arkansas in basketball, and, that was some kind of fun, some kind of good. They were really, really good. So Bud Walton was a great place to play. You know, we used to always play these guys at Thanksgiving, and we'd always have to be in Little Rock, and there was nothing to do in except you would always find something to do. You're amazing.
Well, I mean, the Bill Clinton Presidential Library was there, so check that out. And that was pretty cool. We would. I think one year we went quail hunting. Me and Dr. Bankston. I wore a pheasant tie with a little English hat, and we went out and killed some pheasants. But, of course, it wasn't very hard. They would put them out, and they would say, go, pheasant, and it would jump up in the air, and we'd shoot it. So it was not exactly wild hunting, but it was sporting nonetheless. So.
You've been around a while. You travel with this team. You get to see them and the coaching staff. Are they as close-knit as they appear to be?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the morning breakfast in Oxford, which is the early morning risers that you used to go to. Joe Brady's in there laughing with Coach Craig, the offensive line coach. I completely believe Coach O when he describes this coaching staff as being without, you know, big egos. Everybody's working together. They're having fun. There's no tension there. It all starts with O. And he has got these guys all working as a team. And I think part of it's because they know he has their back. Look, as bad as the defense played against Ole Miss, you never heard O say one thing about Aranda. Yeah. Never said one thing about it. He says, it's on me. It's on me to fix it. So when he presents that type of perspective and that type of attitude, everybody sticks together. They love their quarterback. I mean, look, this is a special year. I don't think it's going to be a very good game tomorrow night. I don't think. And you're going to get to see some young LSU players. That's a reason to go. Also, you need to go see Joe Burrow. I mean, he's the odds-on champion. I mean, chance to win the Heisman Trophy. We haven't won the Heisman Trophy since 1959. I mean, go to Tiger Stadium and go see probably a Heisman Trophy winner. That doesn't happen often.
Yeah, so it's
I hope the fans that are listening will get over there. The weather's going to be nice. And come watch the LSU Tigers. I mean, it's going to be cool.
It's a special season. You only have two more opportunities at home, so don't waste those opportunities. Go see them.
That's
it's a special group, a special talent, and you'll see what we believe will be next year's quarterback if everything goes according to plan. We got to talk about next week, big guy, because we got to figure something. We may have to. We'll text one another, but we'll figure it all out. But as always, thank you so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Keep spotting and keep doing the great job, man. Thank you so much,
Jordy. All the best to you and your listeners. Have a great weekend and go Tigers.
There you go, Coach O's. His finale. Go Tigers. Absolutely. 6 p.m. kickoff. That means 4 p.m. here on 103.7 The Game for the pregame show, and we'll bring it all to you on another Saturday extravaganza. It's been a while since they've been in Tiger Stadium. Good to have them back. We'll talk more about the Tigers. Josh Lemoine makes his debut here on The Jordy Helfert Show.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Hey, we're back on this Football Friday, November 22nd, the year 2019. I'm into this Twitter thing a little bit, and I keep seeing this guy, and he writes really good. He comes up with great facts and stuff, and he's followed by a whole lot of people. I said, I got to get him. So we did, and Josh Lemoine is we're thrilled to have him on. He is the founder and recruiting analyst of Inside the Eye. His Twitter handle is at LSU Football Truth. He, he covers LSU, the SEC, where he does it all. Josh, thanks so much for the time, and welcome to the show. How are you?
I am good, Jordy. I'm happy to be here. I like the kind words that you opened up with. That was nice of you.
Well, it's the truth. It's the truth and nothing but the truth. A recruiting tidbit. Defensive tackle Jalen Lee out of Live Oak High, Watson, Louisiana, announced his decommitment from LSU last night. LSU's got four defensive tackles. Is that simply the kid said, man, you know what? They got a lot of defensive tackles. Maybe I ought to take my ball and go somewhere else.
Yeah, look, it's the side of recruiting a lot of people, Jordy, don't like to talk about in – but, you know, that's the nature of the game in recruiting sometimes. And was it Jalen that said, you know what, I got four other guys that are highly recruited, or was it, you know, maybe LSU having those talks with them saying, look, we want to fill this class with a couple other people. Whatever that may be, you know, I don't like getting into the guy's personal side too much. But, yeah, you know, that's the side of recruiting that it ain't always the prettiest side. But Jalen's an extremely talented defensive tackle. He's raw, but he's going to be – whoever gets him is going to get a really good football player. So I just think LSU right now, Jordy, is at a different level. They're at the Clemson and Alabama level now, so they got to be – when the season started, we weren't quite there. But where LSU sits now, they got to be picky because the top-tier talent in the country, you know, seems like most of these five-star kids now want to come to LSU because of how this offense is operating.
You're right, and we see wide receivers and we see defensive linemen. I'm just curious, when is, like, the number one, number two quarterback? If you're a quarterback, you got to want to come play with Joe Brady and Steve Ensminger. You got to.
Yeah, no, I think that's coming. I think you look at the 2020 class with Max Johnson and T.J. Finley. Finley, you know, really hyped guy from Ponchatoula High, 6'7", 240-pound kid. He's kind of – it's kind of quieted down with him. But I think what fans have to remember about T.J. Finley is he played on a Ponchatoula team. And if you watch any type of Ponchatoula football, and it's nothing a shot against these young men, the offensive line is just abysmal, okay? And T.J. just hasn't had any time. But I really think – LSU fans are going to be pleased with what they see in T.J. Finley. He's a more mobile version of a Jamarcus Russell. So I really think the future is bright at LSU and Miles Brennan and you know, Peter Parrish. But yeah, look, if you look at 2021, you're starting to get more of the you know, the five-star type kids are starting to knock on the door.
We're talking with Josh Lemoine here, LSU football against Arkansas, 6 p.m. I mean, there's not much we can say about Arkansas. I hate to say that, but one thing I'm curious, with no Grant Delpit and some other injuries, freshman Maurice Hampton's going to get the start at safety. He's that four-star prospect and that tool.
Yeah.
We didn't know if he was going to come to LSU for football or go play Major League Baseball.
Yeah, he's going to, you know, when you look where he's from, out of Tennessee, depending on the recruiting service that you purchased, that he was the number one player in the state. He's an athlete. He's a tremendous player. Been playing football. Haven't really seen much of him. You know, I know he's been on special teams a little bit, but he's one of them guys, kind of like a Jacoby Stevens, out of Tennessee, the number one player. So I know Stevens has really taken to him. Kind of they play the same position. So I really want to see what LSU's gotten him. I mean, when you watch his high school film and had an opportunity to watch him live in one time, he's just a very raw athlete. Obviously, he's one of the better players in high school and two sports. So I'm excited to see what he brings to the table.
Arkansas's played three quarterbacks. They're going to probably play a fourth one who's a running quarterback. And if you looked at the last game and you're Arkansas, you're saying, why not? At least we can try it. But are you at all concerned about, as much as so many are, about this LSU defense? Or do you think that's just I hate to use the word aberration, but are you confident that LSU's defense can turn things around?
No, look, I mean, this week, the beginning of this week, I spent a lot of time breaking down the LSU run defense, and people were in an uproar. You hear all the national media heads put, you know, LSU's defense.
Yes.
Look, Ole Miss is the number one rush offense, in the SEC. Should we have LSU have allowed 400 yards? Absolutely not. But I look at it in a situation, LSU's got a defensive coordinator in Aranda who's going to get it fixed. We have to give the guy that much leeway. I made this statement on Twitter this week, Jordy. How many years did Dave Aranda play with no offenses? You know, so let's give the guy a little slack. I mean, he's won a lot of games for this program on the back of his defense. So, you know, one week they didn't show up. And I think it's a little bit to do with the Alabama hangover. When you see after the first half, they wanted to kind of shut it down and they got exposed. Ole Miss's quarterback is a dynamic player. He also plays on a baseball team for Ole Miss. Got to watch him play four or five times in high school, and you've seen the speed on him. So they got exposed.
Yeah.
But they're, in my eyes, they're too good. They know it's in front of them, Jordy. They're absolutely going to get it fixed.
That's why I feel for Arkansas. I think that's a bunch of angry Tigers out there, and I don't think they want to give Arkansas anything. Everybody says this might be the worst SEC team ever. I don't know about that, but LSU certainly doesn't want to give up a lot of points to this team. I think their pride's on the line for this one.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I made that statement on my podcast last night, that I think LSU wants to come in and prove something. You know, Coach O talks about blocking out the noise, but every one of these kids are on the Twitter machine like Coach O. They see what's been being said. They see the noise that's going on, and, you know, they want to prove a point this week. I think this defense is going to come out and want to prove a point that, you know, we're not the run defense. We're not the defense you've seen against Ole Miss. People get too ahead of themselves, Jordy, when it's one game, it's a specific situation. They quickly forget that LSU has beaten Alabama. They beat a Florida. You beat a lot of these other top programs in the country. So, look, it's a one-off thing. You heard Coach Hardy spend 3 hours on four plays, the QB, QB counter. So I'm gonna put it on the line that these guys are going to get it fixed this week.
I'm looking ahead. Of course, if LSU wins, they win the West. I'm looking ahead. Jake Fromm, he's not going to be running the football when you meet him in the SEC championship game. So and if things go according to plan, maybe so down the road. But hey, let's just one at a time. I still think we need to give more credit to that offensive line than they're getting. Burrow's been pretty clean. Clyde Edwards-Helaire's having a breakthrough season. The offensive line, Coach Craig's done a pretty darn good job, hasn't he?
That's a position, if before the season, if you tuned in to any radio or shows I did, I made the statement that if LSU wants to be a national contender, they're going to have to get, you know, upper-level play from the tackle positions. And I really thought in the interior with Lloyd Cushenberry, Damian Lewis, Ed Ingram's back, I knew that would be fine there, but they had to strengthen up the tackle positions. They put up 700 yards with the backup tackles, you know, against Ole Miss.
So, wow. Yeah.
You really got to give a lot of credit to that coaching staff and the strides that LSU's offensive line has made. I think they've done a tremendous job for all the heat they took last year to now. So, yeah, I think a lot of credit's got to be given to the offensive line.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Josh Lemoore, that, you know, everybody's complaining about the defense giving up all those yards, and rightly so. Nobody's saying a word about it. LSU put up 700-plus yards of offense. I mean, that's crazy.
With backup tackles. That's what people don't understand. That's the two backup. And one fella, he just started playing tackle 10 weeks ago. So, yeah, I think you got to look at that at that situation as a whole. And they've done very well. Coach O has done very well moving pieces around and be able to operate this team as they deal with personal, you know, suspension issues.
Right. Well, Josh, it's been a pleasure. We got to do this again, all right? Can we count on you?
Yeah, absolutely, Joy. Anytime. Anytime you want to talk LSU Tigers, I'm out for you.
All right, buddy. You take care. Thank you so much. Josh Lemoine, recruiting analyst, Inside the Eye at LSU F-Ball Truth and Primetime Podcast. He does it all. We heard about the Tigers. We'll get to know the foe, the Arkansas Razorbacks, with their former quarterback, Clint Sterner. It's a Football Friday in Acadiana, the Jordy Helpert Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
This is Raging Cajun football coach Billy Napier.
Welcome back, Football Friday, as we await another opportunity for LSU to try and win the Southeastern Conference Western Division, standing in their way, the Arkansas Razorbacks. So let's know the foe a little bit better. He was a former quarterback for the Hogs. In fact, back in 1997, he threw for 387 yards against the LSU Tigers. Former Dallas Cowboy quarterback, now a radio host in Houston covering the Texans, but still loves them Hogs. Clint Sterner, friend of the program, joins us once again. Clint, good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
Man, I'm doing well. I can't complain one bit. My Texans down here in Houston went and got a big victory, so it's an easy day to talk about them on the radio. And them Cowboys of mine are going up to the Northeast to play the Monsters in the AFC, the Patriots. So I'm locked and loaded, man.
There you go. Well, let's. I don't want to talk specifically about the Hogs. I want to talk quarterback. When you look and watch Joe Burrow, what do you see? What is your opinion of him as you evaluate him?
Well, you know what's crazy, first and foremost, is I've seen two quarterbacks this year make a stride that I don't know that I've ever seen a quarterback make, and that's the quarterback trainer in me talking. Is Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow were two guys that I thought, hey, look, they're good college quarterbacks, but their arm action, their ability to pass the football technically, didn't allow them to go to the next level. It was not going to allow them to even entertain a serious shot at the next level, in my opinion. And both of those guys come out this year, and the way they're – just simply the way they're spinning the football. Forget the stats. Forget the wins. The way they're spinning the football is absolutely phenomenal. It's hard to believe that adjustment has been made, and Joe Burrow is absolutely on fire right now. So – look, there's nobody playing the position at a higher level in the country, period. There's nothing else. There's nothing better we can say about what Joe Burrow has done. I can't pay him any more of a compliment other than what I just did as far as the arm action, the development and playing the position. And then from the standpoint of stats and wins, nobody's doing it better, man.
How much has he grown from a quarterback perspective? Not just spinning the ball, but you know, seeing the game and you know, the game kind of slows down a little bit when you get to certain points in your career.
And how does his game equate to the next level?
Well, there's no doubt that he's developed and matured, and the game has slowed down for him. Now, I don't know if that's you know, him just maturing to that point, or if that's Joe Brady being inserted into the mix, and him. A lot of times, man, when you get a coach, it just speaks your language. You get a coach that knows how to identify weaknesses and what you've been struggling with, and then can relay the message and communicate the right way. It makes a world of difference for quarterbacks. And so I don't know exactly what the formula is, but there's no doubt about it that the game has slowed down for him, man. I'm still not convinced. You know, I'm seeing top 10 draft picks if you look at Mel Kiper. I'm not convinced that he's that powerful and possesses that type of skill. That's not to say I won't be convinced the more I watch him. I haven't watched him up close and studied him personally in depth enough to really make that kind of evaluation. You know, I do think he sees the game better than most. I think he understands the game better than most. And now offensively, what LSU is doing is very NFL-like relative to the route combinations and the reads and the progressions and those types of things. Mm-hmm. So clearly he's made himself some money relative to the NFL draft. I just don't know if it's top 10 type of money.
All right, Clint Sterner, kind enough to join us, former Arkansas Razorback quarterback, now radio show host in Houston. Let's talk about your alma mater. Coaching change, obviously. What does Arkansas need? What type of coach do they need to bring back this storied college football program?
Well, you know, I mean, the same type of coach that I think everybody was looking for before Morris. I mean, you got to be able to recruit. I don't care what anybody says. When you're in a state that produces 6 to 8 Division I football players a year, and that may be a stretch because I've seen a lot of them play, and quite frankly, they're just not SEC caliber. And so when you're in a state that produces that few athletes, you've got to have a guy that is not only a strong recruiter, but he understands the importance of going into Texas. And then also Memphis, St. Louis, Kansas City, Tulsa, you know, those areas, okay. He's got to be able to go in and recruit like a monster, not just do well. He's got to go in those places and do really, really well, particularly on the offensive and defensive lines. And so it starts with the recruiter. Secondly, I do believe that scheme on both sides of the football matters at Arkansas. I think you've got to be somewhat exotic. You can't come in there and play pro-style football like LSU and Alabama were playing up to about 4 years ago before they made the switch. You got to be spread. You got to be dynamic. You got to be able to create an advantage through the polos on the sideline. The guys that are coaching on the sideline have to be a significant advantage, and they're going to have to overcome some serious disadvantages relative to the Jimmys and Joes. So those two things, man, you got to be able to recruit, and in my opinion, you got to be exotic on offense and defense.
Ed Orgeron's a perfect fit at LSU. He's like one of us kind of guys, and they did a great job in hiring coaches that are of the new age of football, and he's let them coach. Is there a guy that's an Arkansas guy that fans would rally around because they thought Bielema would do it? He was kind of a square peg in a round hole, right? And Morris just couldn't recruit, didn't recruit, whatever. Is there a guy? Who do you like?
Man, I tell you, I think the name that keeps getting floated around is Mike Leach. I think that's a realistic caliber coach, and I think he would be a good fit. Okay. He's exotic on offense. He's one of the best air raid minds in the country and in the game. I think he's a guy that's long in the tooth that understands the SEC from his time at Kentucky, which is a similar job in the East as Arkansas is in the West. And so, and I think it's important that when he walks in the meeting room that every player knows, hey, this is one of the best offensive minds in college football. There's no doubt in it. There's no buck in the system. There's no doubt about it. You know it. Your mom and daddy know it. Your brothers and sisters know it. And so I think that's a good fit, man. I tell you a guy that's an under-the-radar guy right now that understands Arkansas as well is Sam Pittman, the assistant head coach, offensive line coach at Georgia. I know he loves the state of Arkansas. I think he owns property there. And I think if you're going to go outside the box, It better be a guy that can go coast to coast across the country and recruit offensive linemen. And he is the best offensive line coach in the country. There's no doubt about it. He's a dynamic recruiter. And word on the street is that he's got a staff in mind on paper that if he ever gets a head job, he's got his ducks in a row. And so he's a guy outside the box that I think would be a hell of a hire. I don't know if the state would get behind it, but I think he'd be a hell of a hire.
Clint Sterner, I greatly appreciate it. Who's the best team in the NFC, by the way?
Wow, in the NFC, that's a hell of a question, right? I mean, every time we talk about NFL, I always forget to talk about the San Francisco 49ers. Imagine that, right? I mean, those guys are absolute monsters. I mean, those guys are absolute monsters right now. I think they're the most complete team. I'm a huge Russell Wilson fan, so I would never count out Seattle. But right now, man, with everything that San Francisco has going, they can run it, they can throw it, they protect the quarterback, they play great defense, they're unbelievable across the defensive line. I would have to pick San Francisco right now. Them and Baltimore, man. Baltimore and the AFC, boy, they're okay. When you have that conversation, guys, just say this. The most complete football teams in the NFL right this second, the most complete teams are San Francisco and Baltimore. You've got some, again, I love Drew Brees down in y'all's neck of the woods. Sean Payton's one of my favorite coaches. Drew Brees is arguably my favorite quarterback in the league ever. I love watching that guy play. But when you talk about right now, put your finger on who's the best, I would have to go with San Francisco, and I would have to go with Baltimore.
Okay, that's fair. 49ers come to the Superdome. We'll see what that does in a couple of weeks. That ought to be
yes,
interesting.
Sir.
But I'm just saying, Clint. All right, man. Well, I greatly appreciate the time, and we'll see where Joe Burrow goes. But LSU's not going to have any trouble with your boys this weekend. They're just going through a tough phase, right?
Kick me when I'm down. Kick me when I'm down.
Never, never. Clint, thank you, buddy. I greatly appreciate it, man. Take care. Happy Thanksgiving early.
Yes, sir. You too. Y'all have a good one now.
All right. That's going to wrap up our number one of the program, brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, you can't shop right at all. Football Friday in Acadiana continues. Hour number two straight ahead on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
From the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle!
This is Acadiana's Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Helfrich.
It's hour two of two on this Football Friday in Acadiana. It's the 22nd day of November. We've got a lot to talk about with our good friend, Fridays with Faust, the sports director at KLFY, Mr. George Faust, high school football and the Raging Cajuns. Good afternoon, George. How are you, by the way?
Doing great. Looking forward to a Friday night. It's apparently going to rain a little, but we'll fight it off and still cover some high school football tonight.
There you go. Class 4A, second round. Two teams that are 9-2, Northwood Shreve at Karen Crow. Go ahead, Bears.
Yeah, look, Karen Crow's been impressive. They've had a kind of that stretch run towards the end of the year here. And, look, they have Kendrell Williams. The man's he's been able to kind of put a great season together. He's a state champion wrestler, a state champion track star, and he's running the rock for the Bears. Coach Corville's done a phenomenal job so far with regards to that to that team and what they've been able to do this year. And so when you go into a game like this, you know, Shreveport has those good teams, man. They're able to put together some quality football teams. But I like Karen Crow, too. I like just being around Karen Crow and covering him over the past couple of years, it's been it's been quite a turnaround, if you will, for it's been a little bit of a dry spell, and then finally they're kind of catching some good luck here, and we'll see what happens tonight in a tough ball game for sure.
And we certainly don't want to slide any other schools, but we'll just go through a few of them. How about from a marquee standpoint, doesn't get any bigger than in Division I quarterfinal play, Evangel 6-4 at St. Thomas More, the Cougs at 8-2.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to be live tonight. I'll be at that game. Look, STM, I think, coming, like, if you look at it just on paper, you go, wow, Evangel, you know, how great are they? And you think about what the great history that they've had. I think STM comes into this game with a little bit more talent with regards to Jack Desch at wide receiver. You got Caleb Holstein. That defense has been pretty phenomenal as well. So I think being at home is a big advantage, I think, in a game like this where two teams are really – they're kind of equal. And you'll have maybe a little slight edge to the Cougars just because they have the ability of being that number one seed and playing at home.
Another Division II quarterfinal as we continue to talk about high school football here with George Faust of KLFY. Look out now. Look out, Turlings. You're heading down to the Big Easy, taking on my alma mater, the De La Salle Cavaliers. Watch out.
Uh-oh.
Watch out.
Hey, look. Look, Turlings came up with a couple of big wins here, right? So I know De La Salle is one of those teams that they've kind of rejuvenated their program over the past five or so years. Yeah. And so
it's a basketball school, George. It's a basketball school. Hey, look, don't tell them that, but it really is.
One of my best friends played soccer there. Soccer's pretty intense at De La Salle as well. So, Turley's is going into this contest as a team that has they haven't had the best regular season, but if they can put something together in the postseason, and look, they have talent to do it. Samuel LeBlanc, quarterback, and then Larkin Spring at running back. They have guys that they can rely on to play and do a great job. So we'll see what happens in that contest. That should be a good one.
Let's move down to Division III quarterfinal play. The number one seed, Lafayette Christian at 9-1, hosting Menard. Lafayette Christian's a good ball club.
Man, they're unbelievable because there's just everywhere you look, they have talent. And it doesn't – you look at the defensive side of the ball, they're unbelievable. You look at the offensive side of the ball, their wide receivers are some of the best in the business. They're absolutely unbelievable. And it's from Dane Wallace to Sage Ryan to the guys that they're running the ball. Logan Gabriel is a guy who's he's committed to Northwestern State in Natchitoches, but the guy is a phenomenal running back, and you don't hear much about him right now because they've been passing the ball so much. So it's just there's talent at that school. And I don't expect them to lose. I think the interesting one is on the other side of the bracket with Notre Dame and Catholic High New Iberia.
That's where we're going next. But look, if Lafayette Christian wins, and everybody thinks they will, in all likelihood, they'll play the winner of Dunham, who is at Newman, and Newman's got that lineage, Manning, who throws it all over the field as a freshman. So that'll be fun. But let's talk about Catholic New Iberia versus the Pios of Notre Dame.
Yeah, look, so this contest, this seems like they always meet up. This will be, I think, the fifth time they've played each other in the past 2 years. They played for the state championship last year. They played for the state championship the year before that. They actually played in the regular season in that the same year. Notre Dame had beaten them, and then Catholic High won the state championship that year against them. Then the next year, same kind of situation where Notre Dame got a little bit of revenge, won the state championship last year. So now this is a contest where, you know, Brent Indest has a guy in Trey Amos who can run his offense the way he wants it done, and they have some weapons. And Notre Dame, look, they lost C.J. Thibodeau, their big running back, but it doesn't matter because they just plug in the next guy, you know? And that's kind of how Coach Cook's been able to kind of survive this this little stretch where C.J. Thibodeau got injured in the LCA game earlier this year. They just had the next guy step up, and Ben Broussard's his quarterback, and then that defense from Coach Mack, that's their bread and butter. This game, there's not going to be no surprises in this contest because they both know each other really well. So I know Coach Indest and Coach Cook are both kind of masterminds when it comes to game planning. So it's always fun to watch that how that game plays out. And we'll see what happens on Friday night here.
George, I know that the non-select championship games are in the Superdome. Do we have any idea where the select schools are going to play their championship games? Has anybody said anything?
So I had that exact question about a week ago, and I talked to a couple of coaches. And from what I understand, they'll be playing the Division II, III, and IV state championships at Cajun Field. Now, that hasn't been confirmed to me. That hasn't been confirmed to me by any official, but the coaches that I've talked to have told me that. So the coaches have to know, right?
Yeah, I would think. And that's, I think, a week before the non-select playoffs play. So, okay, right. Interesting. All right.
Right.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, the non-select play on the 13th and 14th and the 6th and 7th is the select, from what I understand. But it's ridiculous. Well, how we don't know this yet is bizarre. Yeah. You know, it's just they're in the midst of playing in the playoffs and they have no idea where they're going to play the state championship, or they haven't made it known. So,
don't get me started, George Faust, KLFY. Raging Cajuns at home, blackout game, 4 o'clock. Troy might be the most dangerous 5-5, 3-3 in league play team. They got a quarterback that throws it all over the place. They just can't stop anybody. Do you see a big problem here for the Cajuns, or no problem at all?
I really don't think it's going to be a problem, but I don't say that and just throw Troy out off to the side. I think the reason I say that is because the way Coach Napier prepares his team for each contest, That is why I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think they will worry about themselves, take care of whatever they need to take care of from a Cajun standpoint. And Troy, defensively, if the Cajuns can get stops here and there, I think offensively that UL will be able to consistently score. And I just don't see a team that's one better coached in the Sun Belt than the Cajuns are right now, and two, that's playing at such a high level right now. I mean, what a great time to be a South Louisiana football fan, right? LSU playing phenomenal. Cajuns are playing phenomenal. And then some great high school football as well.
Yeah, and the Saints aren't too shabby either. All right, George, you got a busy Friday, as always, but good luck to all the teams at Acadiana, whoever you're rooting for, and we'll see who survives and advances yet again. Have a great weekend, my friend. Thank you so much, as always, with Friday with Faust.
Sure thing, Jordy. Talk to you soon.
All right, there you go. Brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana, the best truck in the business, the safest, the most reliable, the most comfortable, the best looking, the most dependable. It's the dream of every truck driver to own a Peterbilt. Peterbilt of Louisiana, with locations in Lafayette, Lake Charles, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans. You can't go wrong. Get the best. Be the best. Be a Peterbilt. We'll be back. Saints talk. Larry Holder of The Athletic. Football Friday in Acadiana. The Jordy Helfrich Show. Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game.
This Sunday at noon, the Saints return to the friendly confines, as they say, of the Mercedes-Benz Superdome for another NFC South matchup, this time with the Carolina Panthers. The Saints at 8-2, a three-game lead in the division over Carolina, five games over the hard-charging Falcons and the Tampa Bay Bucks. Larry Holder of The Athletic, kind enough to join us on this Friday. Good afternoon, Mr. Holder. How have you been, sir?
Hey, Jordy, I'm doing great. Like, hey, Saints are rolling, LSU's rolling. You know, things are looking up, of course, here in Southeast Louisiana.
Tell me the status report of the Saints at this point in time. You know, they had the hiccup against the Falcons, which maybe wasn't a hiccup. Falcons look pretty darn good. But a nice bounce-back win against Tampa where they controlled that thing from the get-go.
Yeah, I still think that was a hiccup. And even though the Falcons, they look like they're playing better, I mean, it wasn't just one blip. They certainly beat up on the Panthers. I do think, though, that that was a game where I think the Saints came in and they just assumed that the Falcons would just kind of lay down. And now they've won two in a row, and I think the Saints also have to maybe prevent that a little bit because the Panthers played poorly last week, and don't just assume that the Panthers are going to lay down. But if the Saints win this game, they're four games up in the division, and they need one more win total to win the division. Mm-hmm. So, I think the Saints want to put all of that behind them. And I could just tell you this. Being in Tampa, right after the game, the walls in Raymond James Stadium are quite thin from their locker room to where the Saints had their post-game press conferences. And I could tell you that was a fiery, determined bunch, as in now we're back to normal and let's not have this trickle over. And so, yeah, I think this team is going to be like a lot of these other teams where they had a blip in the radar and yet they bounce back and kind of get rolling again.
And we're going to be scoreboard watching because there's two games of interest for all Saints fans besides the Carolina game, but that's Seattle at Philadelphia and then the game that was flexed at night, Green Bay at San Francisco. Do we want San Francisco to win that game, or do we want Green Bay to win that game? Or does it even matter?
I think you actually do want San Francisco to win that game because it would put Green Bay behind the Saints, and then you rely on yourself to beat San Francisco, and then you would have the heads up on them as well. So that would put you in prime spot where you'd be the number one seed, and you wouldn't have to worry about the numbers game because you don't play Green Bay. You don't have to worry about the numbers game getting into effect, and so you become the one seed. Because the last thing you want to do is ever have to go play up in Green Bay in January, and I don't want to go either, and I know you don't want to see it. None of us want to deal with it. So you kind of want to play that scenario. But Jordy, I honestly think just if the Saints take care of business, they're going to be favored in every game going forward, including the 49ers game.
Okay.
If they win out, they're going to be the number one seed. I mean, that's just kind of my thinking.
Gotcha. We certainly want Philadelphia to win because we've already beaten Seattle. They're 8-2. We're 8-2. So that would be like a two-game lead over them. So come on, Eagles, and let's go 49ers. Nick Easton, man. That's another nice pickup, right? He looked pretty good in his first start.
Well, nice pickup and good in his first start. They're two totally different topics. You're paying him a lot, and he was borderline almost cut at the end of training camp just because he did not play well. And he's essentially, people look at it, oh, my gosh, he signed him for like a four-year deal. In theory, it's actually just like a one-year deal because the cap hits all fade away. And so when you look at Nick Easton, the fact, though, that he was able to come in and play comfortable at guard and had a week of preparation and I think also having the confidence of the rest of the offensive line with him, I think that helped. And so, look, game one, good for him. We're always going to be keeping an eye on him just because –
like I said, I mean, he hadn't been active until this past week. He was a healthy right. scratch. And so I think, though, that the Saints feel like he's more comfortable in that spot. And through 1 week, that's good, but let's keep an eye on him going forward.
Other than Christian McCaffrey, I know that Kyle Allen had that success a year ago, but nobody cared about that game. That was week 17, whatever it was. This is a whole different ball game. But other than McCaffrey, does anybody scare you on the Panthers?
Well, offensively, not a ton. And I think that's why when you look at the wide receivers and if they don't have, say, Marshawn Lattimore, I think they're certainly going to be okay without him. It's not like DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel are these mega explosive players. Now, Samuel could be dangerous if you let him out in open space. And, of course, Moore's a former first-round pick. But still, I think the Saints can handle that. And I think they're going to go about that accordingly with Marshawn Lattimore. But McCaffrey's your guy. I mean, McCaffrey, it's funny, I wrote a column a couple weeks ago about Kamara and possibly losing him. And I said, look, how irreplaceable is Kamara? And I brought up maybe the only person in the league right now is McCaffrey. And some of the people in the secondary were like, no. He's not as versatile and slippery. And yet even someone like P.J. Williams, Sean Denny said, well, yeah, he is. Like, so even internally within the Saints, there's some debate that McCaffrey can be a Kamara within the offense, and I would agree. Look, I think those two guys are the most diverse weapons in the NFL, and so, man, you've got to be able to slow down McCaffrey because I think Kyle Allen is starting to kind of reel a little bit. He's coming back down to earth, and so, McCaffrey's the guy you got to stop, and if those other weapons beat you, either you're just not good enough or they just had incredible days.
He is Larry Holder of The Athletic, kind enough to join us today. The Saints' noon kickoff against the Panthers in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. I'm going to pose an LSU question to you since you cover the NFL draft and all that. If everybody on LSU's team were draft eligible, every one of them, who would be your first? Give me your order of the first four picks that somebody would take off of LSU.
Ooh, boy, Jordy, you're throwing some curveballs at me. I still go Joe Burrow one. Joe Burrow's one.
Okay.
Stingley two.
Okay.
I would go Jamar Chase three.
Okay.
And then I'd go Delpit four.
All right.
That's and I'm going that way because I think Jamar Chase is basically like a Michael Thomas. I think he's strong. Yeah. He could do every route. He could do this and that. Stingley, I think, is a corner who, right now, I'll even point to some our own draft expert, Dane Brugler. He's thinking, like, right now, if you had a draft board and you had to do every defensive player in the draft, within college football right now, it'd go Chase Young 1, Derek Stingley 2. And
really?
That is, yes, and that is pretty incredible. God. And so you see that yeah, exactly. And so that's why I'm putting him so high. And so, yeah, but I would still put Joe Burrow up there. But it's like LSU is going to have a lot of guys drafted, obviously, within these next couple of years. But still, yeah, I do think that Grant Delpit actually needs to answer some questions. He has not been the same guy. I know he got banged up, but not the same guy as he was last year. Mm-hmm. I think his tackling is a little bit of a question, so I think people need to look at that. If you're a safety, you need to be able to tackle, obviously. So, but there are a lot of players that are going to emerge, but outside of that top four of this roster. But yeah, I like I said, I'll go Burrow one, Stingley, Chase, then Delpit.
See, you're like the Astros. You're stealing signs, and you hit it out the park, man.
I don't know if I'm stealing signs, but maybe I'm just feeling a little. It's funny. It's like I'm almost like committing like Raid of Pride on Raid of Pride crime. I'm leaving Christian Fulton out, but I put Jamar Chase in.
He might be number five. Larry Holder, have a great weekend, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right, Jordy, good talking to you.
Take care. With the holiday season right around the corner, it's time to get in the spirit. Delta Media. See that new sign up there? How cool is that? Has you covered with Louisiana's Christmas Channel, flavored by Tabasco. You can listen live at LouisianaChristmasChannel.com. Download the free mobile app so you can have 24/7 commercial-free Christmas music right at your fingertips. The Louisiana Christmas Channel, flavored by Tabasco. Monday's headlines on a Friday. Next. Welcome back. Football Friday. It's the Three Amigos. The tripod is back together again. Say hello to everybody. Our good friend George Becknell.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
And CD, likewise to you.
What's going on, everybody?
All right, I got a question for both of you. I've seen now, you know, the mascots, and one of my favorite is Ralphie, the Buffalo in Colorado. They're getting they're retiring Ralphie, and I just see now that Auburn is retiring its 20-year-old Golden Eagle mascot, Nova, and he's going to be replaced by another Golden Eagle named Aria that will become War Eagle number 8. So I have a question for both of you. Would you rather be on the reins as Ralphie runs out at a Colorado Buffalo game, or would you rather stand at midfield while Aria flies, swoops down from Jordan-Hare and lands on your arm at midfield? Which would you rather do, George?
Man, give me the War Eagle, Jordy. Look, I mean, if I'm pretty sure they got something I can put on my arm for the bird to just come down and land there. I do not want any parts of that buffalo, Jordy. I'm just saying, unless it's a bison burger that I can eat, I don't want any part of this buffalo, bro. I'm sorry. Can't do it.
Clint, your choice. What do you got?
I'm kind of in the same boat as George. I think it's largely because of the fact that these Falcons are trained to be able to do the kind of stuff it does during the Auburn games. I think that would be something I'd much rather, simply because of the fact that you know 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, this Eagle is going to do exactly what it's supposed to do, and that's what you want, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen anybody fall down when the Eagle swoops in, but I've seen a lot of people get dragged around by that buffalo. Man, that's awesome. Takes about 10 guys, and they're sprinting. That buffalo can go. So I admire them. All right, let's see. I got a question. I'm from New Orleans, so when we say where'd you go to school, it's always where'd you go to high school. So, George, where'd you go to school?
Jordy, I'm a graduate of the fine institution of Ascension Catholic High School in Donaldsonville, and my Bulldogs are undefeated this year, by the way.
Ooh.
And I'll be playing Southern Lab on Friday in Donaldsonville. So, Bulldogs about to bring home the chip, baby.
Is Becknell going to make an appearance at the game with his letter jacket?
You know what, Jordy? I was telling my dad that I should do that. I should go out and pull my old school Letterman jacket out the closet and just go to the game. So I might just do that. If I do that, I'm going to send you a picture. Hadn't worn that jacket
send
in like 16 years.
I'll send it to our social media guru, Mr. Domain, and he'll put that thing on the website, whatever. All right, CD, I should know this, and I feel terrible that I don't, but where'd you go to school?
Well, Jordy, the 237 Roof Studios are merely a stone's throw away from where I went to high school at, and I went to Carrickrye, home of the Golden Ooh. Bears, and more importantly, Ooh. Jordy, the best high school stadium name in all of high school football, the Open Air
Crow Dome.
The Open Air Crow Dome. You got to get it right, Jordy.
Well, Cliff, you forgot. You forgot the most important recruit in LSU history, too.
Yep.
With the Carrickrye.
Kevin Falk. The man runs that place.
Kevin Falk's in love.
I think he's been surpassed by some guy named Burrow. I'm just saying. The head coach even said that. I'm just saying. But anyway, okay. So,
I don't know.
So the Bears are in the playoffs. Your school, Ascension Catholics, undefeated in the playoffs. And my De La Salle Cavaliers basketball school, thank you, they're in the playoffs as well. So so we're well represented, man. So we'll be pulling for our teams to get it going. So, all right, LSU Arkansas, 44 or 43, whatever you want to call it, point spread. Let's just let it be known, none of us make investments. But if you did, would you touch this one, George?
Jordan, I'm not touching this one with a 10-foot pole, man. You know, especially after what happened to Tua in the Alabama game, I don't even want Coach O to try to beat this spread. I want them to play the first team, you know, blow out Arkansas in the first half and let those guys rest, man. So that's what I'm hoping happens. So there's no way I'm a bet against LSU, and I don't want them to try to even beat the spread, because that's 40 points. That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points, like six touchdowns, CD. You taking the over on that or the under on that?
Jordy, I take Arkansas to cover that bad boy, because I would not be surprised if they wind up covering it, especially because what George brought up perfectly, the fact that odds are, and I think Coach O has this in mind, probably, let's say, 28-35 to nothing at one point in that ballgame, whatever point that is, Joe Burrow, everybody, those main guys, they're going to get pulled. If this doesn't happen in the first half, they'll be pulled regardless at halftime, because you need to be able to save these guys up, and then you'll wind up seeing, obviously, the Arkansas Razorbacks pull a backdoor cover late in that ball game. I think I'd put money on Arkansas to cover this one.
Clint, you got a clip of something that Joe Burrow, that Ed Orgeron said, and I think this is a harbinger of what's to come, because he was asked about Miles Brennan and how Miles has progressed. This is the perfect game for Miles Brennan. Joe Burrow doesn't need the stats in this one, but listen to what O said about what everyone thinks will be next year's quarterback.
Night day, as far as his confidence. Miles always had a strong arm, his pocket presence, studying football, knowing the offense. His leadership has started in the fourth quarter last year. I remember him breaking down the team for the first time, screaming. Today somebody was late in the huddle. He got on him. I think that you sort of showed signs of maturity, and that he's ready to take this quarterback position next year and run one.
See, I think Burrow will play the first half. I think Brennan will play the second. I think they'll turn him loose, and I think he wants to prove to – but look, can Miles Brennan win? He can't possibly win. Look who he's coming after. He can't put up those numbers. I feel badly for the kid. I don't care how great he plays. He can't possibly live up to what the standards that Burrow set, CD. He can't.
He can't, but, Jordy, all he needs to do is win ball games. I think that's the most important thing that we're kind of missing here. He needs to get things done and get the wins. At the end of the day, we're not expecting him to be the absolute, like, 400-yard game. I think with the offense that Joe Brady has in place, he's going to likely have in place in 2020, I think we can see Miles Brennan become a adequate quarterback, a guy who can put up 250 to 300 yards a game, probably a couple touchdowns here and there. And we see this offense become more like maybe a Drew Brees offense instead of a Big 12 type of offense, because of the fact I feel like this is going to be – next year is going to be a year where we see it not be the Big 12 offense like we saw a lot this season. And we see it shift towards more of what maybe we should expect from an LSU offense going forward, where they can wind up having that defense be well-rested. We see more methodical drives.
Okay. See, I think LSU's angry. I think that defense is angry. I'm taking LSU to cover this thing. I don't know. Call me crazy. Won't be the first, won't be the last, but I'm thinking LSU covers this thing. I think they win by 7 touchdowns. And Arkansas just goes back, and we get to keep that ugly-looking trophy on our sideline yet again. George, what's going to be the headline in Columbus, Ohio? Penn State at the Horseshoe taking on the Ohio State Buckeyes.
I mean, I feel like the headline is going to be taking care of business. You know, I think Penn State, they're a very, very good football team. But Ohio State, man, this Ohio State team has looked solid. I know they haven't really played anybody, but I don't see any holes in this team. They defend well. Their quarterback is really, really good. They're able to run the ball. I think they don't lose until the Big Ten championship, and that's if they lose then. Ooh. So I think they'll continue to roll and just take care of business against Penn State. So the headline, in my opinion, is just be taking care of business.
They're going to row the boat, lose to the Fighting Flex? Wow, okay. We'll see about that. CD, Athens, Georgia. Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies making their first visit between the hedges since they joined the SEC. There's something definitely wrong about how you schedule games in this league. But they're sneaky, Texas A&M. They're the team that nobody talks about. Georgia's already wrapped up the East. Does Georgia have a letdown, or is that number four spot in the CFP too valuable to them where they do not have a letdown?
They cannot have a letdown, and they will not have a letdown, Jordy. This is a team that a few weeks ago lost to South Carolina. Every game matters when it comes to Georgia, and trying to keep, more importantly, keep that team from T-Town out of the CFP, out of that top four. I think they need to wind up winning this one. I think they will get the win here. I wouldn't be surprised if Jake Fromm looks like an absolute beast in this one. Texas A&M in the second year under Jimbo Fisher, not quite as prolific as many expected, but I think it's still going to take some time for Jimbo Fisher to get his guys in there to really make themselves a force to be reckoned with, but it'll be a loss for the Aggies against Georgia on the road.
I'm with you. All right, I know you guys are into all these video games and stuff. So the Saints are taking on the Carolina Panthers in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome Sunday at high noon. And Christian McCaffrey has now joined the exclusive Madden 99 Club. He's only 23 years old. He's on pace to break Chris Johnson's single-season record for total yards from scrimmage, and he was presented a plaque for becoming the youngest player to obtain the 99 rating. I know you, there's only several few running backs that have gotten that. That's Johnson, Barry Sanders, Marshall Faulk, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Adrian Peterson. That's a pretty good who's who's fraternity class. But does Christian McCaffrey have enough, George, to best the Saints this Sunday?
No, George, he doesn't. The Carolina Panthers, as a football team, are not as good as the New Orleans Saints. That's just period, point blank. You know, the Panthers, they don't throw the ball real well. The defense is solid, but they're not as good as they once were. The Saints are on a mission. They got punched in the mouth a couple weeks ago against the Atlanta Falcons. You know, the Saints are looking up in the standings. Apparently, the Green Bay Packers hold a tiebreaker right now. The 49ers are ahead. This team is trying to make a push to get back to the NFC title game and get into the Super Bowl in Miami again, where it was the last time they won the Super Bowl. I think they're just too focused to let Carolina come in the Superdome and beat them. Now, I will give Christian McCaffrey some props. The brother can play. He deserves to have a 99 rating. His team just isn't good enough. So the Saints take care of business at home in the Superdome.
So when's the last time you played the Madden game, CD?
Oh, boy, Jordy, it's been a couple of years just because I have not been able to. I think it's just I've talked about it in the past on multiple programs is I think it's the fact that they've had more of an over-reliance on the Ultimate Team stuff. I can't get into it like I used to back in the gap. I haven't played it probably since Madden 18. So it's a couple of years ago. I haven't played it since. I can't get into it anymore, Jordy. It's definitely kind of it's a young man's game these days, Jordy. But when it comes to the Carolina, sorry, Jordy, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm laughing.
Okay, but Jordy, I mean, we got to talk about with the Saints and the Panthers game on Sunday. I got to give the edge to the Saints, largely because I feel like, and I've talked about it with you, is the fact that this is the year of the backup quarterback. I think Kyle Allen has started to regress a little bit, and I think the fact you have so much film on Allen now, it's not like, oh, hey, like Cam Newton got injured last week, and the only film you had on him was the Week 17 game where the Saints lost because, well, they play like all their second stringers. I think the Saints will roll through this one. A lot like what George said, this team is hungry. They want to wind up getting things done. Because this is an important month because of the fact they're playing all the NFC South teams this month.
Home field advantage is too important, and Sean Payton's not going to let them slip up on this one. They're the better team. They're going to take care of business. I agree. The last football game I played, to show you how – what was that? It had the football field and the electric little men that would move up and down the field. What was that game called? We're talking long, long, long time ago.
You're not talking about Tecmo Bowl?
Magnetic foot. What is it?
Oh, you're talking about magnetic. You're not even talking about electronic video games.
And it was like Les Miles football, run up the middle. And they had 11 players in the box, and you tried to run it up the middle, and anyway, that's what I played. So, okay. George Becknell joining us, CD joining us. This is a different kind of version of Monday's headlines on a Friday. Strike up the band. Look who's hot. The Pelicans, George. They won again last night, 124-121 over the Phoenix Suns. J.J. Redick is playing like a man possessed. And all of a sudden, the first leg of a three-game road trip, they win it. And the Pels are starting to make some noise. That was a big, important game there, like a game and a half out of the eighth and final spot of the playoffs. So are you starting to buy the Pels?
Jordy, I never started to sell the Pels. I've been high on the Pels since the offseason. I feel like, you know, they kind of had to get used to each other. There's some injuries. You know, I've watched them play against the Warriors last Sunday, and I felt like everybody was hurt. You had Brandon Ingram on the side. You had Lonzo on the side. You had Josh Hart on the side. And obviously Zion is not playing, but this team is still, you know, playing some solid basketball. To your point, J.J. Redick can't miss. You know, he's always been a great shooter, but he has been hit everything. Jrue Holiday is Jrue Holiday. He's a very underrated star in the NBA. He's consistent. He's a team leader. Love that guy. And also, you know who I really like watching, Jordan? I really like watching Jackson Hayes. You know, that guy
works
under the goal. He plays above the rim. He protects the rim on the defensive side. That is a very, very underrated player and a great pick in the second round. So I'm big on this Pelicans team, Jordan. And as soon as they continue, as they slowly but surely get healthy, this team's going to be a problem in that Western Conference, Jordan. I'm telling you. So I'm hyped.
Yeah,
I'm excited after about the
Yeah, after an 0-4 start, they're only a game and a half back in the loss column with for the number 8 team in the Western Conference. And I was wrong about Brandon Ingram. He's really playing well. 28 points on 9 of 19 shooting, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. CD, do they get it done in Utah on Saturday? Do the Pels get it done?
I think it's going to be a stretch for them to get it done, Jordy, largely because of the fact I've seen this team kind of have these moments throughout the last several years. But, Jordy, you got to be pleased with the fact you got a three-game winning streak. Like they said in Major League, that is a winning streak, and it has happened before. I wouldn't be surprised if the Pels start to kind of put things together, especially late in the season, with the fact they'll have all their guys in-house, and it's going to be fun to see what happens next.
I'm with you. George, anything else you want to add today, big guy?
Well, Jordy, I want to go back to the Miles Brennan conversation. You know, I felt like, you know, I'm going to have to disagree with you a little bit. You say it's not possible for him to have this type of success that Joe Burrow's had, and I'm going to tell you why. Before they both started playing, I thought Miles Brennan had more arm talent than Joe Burrow. Now, obviously, I like Joe Burrow's swag, but if you put together the fact that Marshall and Chase are both young guys, they'll be back. You still got Joe Brady in town. You got this offensive set, and then the talent Miles Brennan brings to the table. He might be able to play as close to the level that they're playing this year, next year.
Yeah, I hope you're right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. So don't sleep on Miles Brennan, though. But I'm excited for this.
I hope you're right.
I think they're going to put together a few years of success, and they're going to dominate the SEC West like Bama once did.
All right. Well, I know his mom and pop real well, so I hope you are right. All right, there they are, the tripod, back together, and have a great weekend, and we'll talk again soon, my friend. Thank you.
All right, now. Take care.
All right, and thank you, CD, as well. Now, if you love the combination of the NFL and Twin Peaks, go to 1037thegame.com. Take part in the Twin Peaks Pro Pick'em Challenge. Every single week, you get a new chance of scoring Twin Peaks gift cards by picking the correct winners for that week's exciting NFL action. It's simple, it's fun, and it's free to play.
the Twin Peaks Pro Pick'em Challenge brought to you by 103.7 The Game. We wrap things up on this Football Friday with, right now we're feasting, but we're still hungry. The latest hype video, Tigers, Hogs, oh my. She's on my mind. No doubt about it, she looks so fine. She's the best girl that I ever had. Hey, we welcome you back. DC's Little Capital X on I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Everything for your travel needs and much, much more. My go-to stop, make it yours, DC's Little Capital X on. Special thanks to all of our guests, Chris Kozark, Jim Nickel, Josh Lemoyne, Clint Sterner, George Faust, Larry Holder, George Becknell, producer extraordinaire, CD. We leave you on this Football Friday wishing all the home teams the best of luck and a hype video from Ryan Clark. Right now, we're feasting, but we're still hungry. Enjoy.
Where we come from, talk is cheap. You judge by what you produce. You have to prove yourself over and over again. And even then, they still doubt you.
You put the left middle of the field and you fight like Titans all night.
Where we come from, nothing is given. Everything is earned. You finish what you start. You eat what you kill. One day, you feasted, but the next, you're starving again. And where we come from defines us. It's who we are. We represent something way bigger than ourselves. And that's why we never forget it. We never forget where we come from. And that's how we know where we're going.